This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Even though we're there every day, that's one thing, you know, but do you
actually... You're giving your test of your own medicine.
We have never claimed, if you come on a stream regularly and you miss a week, we will never say a
no. You have repeatedly, are you recording now? You have repeatedly said so many times, he ran away, and you know, you say it very often.
You guys don't come on our streams, but we have a...
But we don't run away. I mean, I've told you, why don't we come on your streams?
Yeah.
Because we don't want our audience, people who are completely jahil about Islam...
To learn about it.
No. They can learn about Ahmadi Islam if they want. Maybe if it's Islam. I don't believe...
Likewise.
Oh, yeah, no problem. They can learn about Ahmadism if they want to, okay? But if they don't know anything about their own faith, why would we bring them to the wolf, spiritually?
Yeah.
Again, I don't believe you guys are wolves physically. You don't pose any physical threat to the Muslim world. Muslims have been dealing with...
You know, your scholars say Ahmadiyya is the biggest threat to the Muslims.
They're wrong.
Because
yeah.
The Muslims are...
These are exaggerations.
No,
I believe Ahmadis are no threat to Islam, spiritually or physically.
So
I believe this.
What's the point of all these streams?
Because there are misguided million odd people in the world who are in very powerful positions, and the Western governments are funding them, supporting them.
We're not funded by any government, but let's look at the root.
I'm not saying you, Ahmadi Jamaat in itself is funded, but it is facilitated. It has a lot of sympathy from the British government in particular. We have seen how some of the British politicians have been seeing your Khalifa. Okay,
but they
have a very strong relationship.
But you see, Khalifa, have you ever heard any of the speeches he gives at those parliaments?
I have.
So what does he speak about? He speaks about
peace,
Quran,
love, compassion.
Through Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life, the same thing.
This is the message. This is the reason why Western government, in general,
love it is because it's what the Sunni
like the Ahmadis, is because Ahmadis blow the trumpet. Ahmadis follow the narrative, Western government's narrative on Islam and Muslims. Muslims are extremists, Muslims are terrorists. One of the speakers today in this conference spoke about structural Islamophobia that exists within Western governments. How Western governments, from dropping bombs on Muslim countries, from promoting hate against Muslims within the countries these Muslims live in, from that level all the way to the level where they actually prop up groups and entities that can help them promote their narrative, to normalize that narrative. So Ahmadis are in that sense like a tool, like a pawn in their hands.
No, I would disagree, because look, Christian nations, these nations, the British, who's their God?
Christian nations.
Who's their God?
They believe in one God.
They believe Hazrat Isa alayhi salam is God.
Well, yeah,
they
mean, one of the persons.
God.
Yeah.
Our community, when our Khalifa speaks, he shows them who Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. He shows them his greatness. Just hear me out. You brothers, you know, you guys have made Isa alayhi salam someone who's alive in the skies with his body. You guys are the ones who strengthened Christianity. Paul in Corinthians says, if Isa alayhi salam has not been raised up with his body, our faith is in vain.
You're going to raise a lot of theological questions that I don't have the time to address. We have had hours upon hours of conversation on this topic.
You guys are strengthening Christianity. We're saying Isa alayhi salam is dead. He's dead.
But
Christianity is
I don't think. I think we have been knocking dents into Christian theology non-stop, especially for the last 200 years. Without Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani's contribution, or he hasn't done anything. He hasn't
Have you read any of his books regarding Christianity cover to cover?
I haven't read his books on Christianity cover to cover.
So how can you make that claim?
Because I would have. I'm a student of comparative religion. Before I get arrogant and start blowing my trumpet, I'm a student of comparative religion. I've been debating Christians for the last 20 years, the best part of 20 years, and I have read many important works in this regard, including Izharul Haq of Rahmatullah Kairanui, and I believe that work in itself is outdated in many respects. Research has moved on, Likewise, Ibn Taymiyyah, Al-Jawab al-Sahih liman badala deen al-Masih, and Hidayat al-Hayara, okay, of Ibn Qayyim. I have read these works. Even Al-Milal wa-Nihal of Ibn Hazm. I have looked into these works. Mirza, if Mirza was anywhere as an important contributor to this debate, I would have definitely read his works.
But how would you find out if you don't read his books? It's like a Christian, it's like a Christian coming today and he goes like, you know, if the Quran had something from God in it, I would have definitely read it.
Yeah.
Brother, if you don't read it, how will you ever know? This is why Allah...
I have read enough to know.
No, but you haven't read his works in Christianity. Look, Muhammad Hussein Bukhari said, Pir Mir Ali Gola Sharif, they all said, even Dr. Islam, you know him very well, he made it clear that in the time of India, when Muslims were converting to Christianity left and right, it was Mirza Sahib who stood up and defended Islam.
This is not true.
You're misrepresenting
all of them. They never said that. Okay? They actually believed Mirza was a disbeliever.
They said
let me explain the context of what they said. They said Mirza was putting up a challenge to Arya Samaj and Christian missionaries to become famous. My view is also that he was putting up a challenge to Arya Samaj, Hindus, and also Christians.
But that's an assumption. You don't have proof.
I have proof for that.
Number two.
I mean, I don't have proof to...
You can't say you have proof for that. Yeah.
I can show you the evidence to substantiate my theory.
What's your evidence that he was doing it to get famous? When? And you know, Dr. Saranjit?
I'll respond to that.
Before you explain.
His book, Brahine Ahmadiyya, was supposed to be 50 volumes, right? And then he publishes one. And he fills some of the pages with lana.
No, this is wrong. That's a different book.
Oh yeah, sorry. In Brahine Ahmadiyya, I've seen, brother. I have the book. Sorry, I mixed it up. You're right.
Brahine Ahmadiyya is what Badali said is
There are pages in Brahine Ahmadiyya with how many words?
Brother, that's the introduction is the Harat. You have to start from volume 3, 4, 5.
So I'm not wrong.
No, but
I have the book in my possession.
The introduction, brother.
Yeah.
It was an ishtihad. You can't use that and say that. Oh,
no, but there
why
are.
Why would Badali say it's
there are. I don't know. I forgot the name of the book where he has lanat.
I saw it in
Rouhani Fazail.
What was the lanat for? Do you know?
Okay. So I'm not wrong about
but
this.
But what was the lanat for?
First of all, we get to Lanat.
But you have to explain what it's for. It was for the Christians who were sending curses upon Nabi Sassan every day and night.
I understand. I know that.
Is there an issue?
How many pages did you fill Lanat with?
There were 1,000 Lanat. Okay?
Yeah.
1,000 Lanat. Let me tell you the context now. Lanat, according to Mufradat Imam Raghib, right? It's basically a prayer against someone, a bad dua against them, to make them away and far from the rahmah of Allah, right? The Christians mocked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam day and night, and they raised many allegations, and these were Muslims who became Christians and knew Arabic, so they claimed. Hazrat Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Alayhi Wasallam challenged them that I have written this book, Nurul Quran, okay? He said, respond to this book and I will give you money as a reward. If you don't accept my challenge and you don't retract these lies against Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then I will give you 1,000 lanat.
Okay, that's fine.
And he couldn't answer.
That's fine. Look, I don't care about it. I don't care if he fills 50 pages with lanat or 100 pages with the word lana or lanat in Urdu, yeah? If he fills 50 or 100 pages, it doesn't... But it's not an argument. Do you agree? It's not an argument.
What's that?
Lanat.
Brother, it's only a few pages and the whole book refutes Christianity.
I understand.
And you look tasbih. How much time do you do tasbih after Namaz?
I do 33.
Same with us. In the same way, those Christians who mocked Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam,
we don't have any tasbih with Lanat. We don't have any.
Of course, but
it's not Ibadah, is it?
Of course it's not. But those Christians, you agree that those Christians who were mocking Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, Hazrat Sauda radiallahu
anha, you don't know what my view is on that?
Do you believe they deserve none or not?
Who?
Those Christians who mocked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and our mothers. Did they deserve la'na or not?
For that?
Yeah.
We don't have any evidence for that.
I have their books.
No. We don't have any evidence from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Ma bu'ithu la'ana." Yes, you know the hadith?
Yeah,
I was not sent as a la'an, someone who does la'na upon people just because he disagrees with them.
Of
right?
Course,
okay.
Of course.
So I'm following the Prophet.
But the same Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did send la'na on people.
La'anallahu al-Yahuda wa al-Nasara ittakhadhu qubura anbiya'i masajid.
Not just that, Allah says why? Why? About the Christians of Najran.
No, that's Quran.
But
that's Quran says, as well. He's quoting the Quran.
But what does the ayah say? Fanabtahim. It's Allah commanding Nabi says, and then do the la'ana to Nabi al-Qazmi, and Nabi says,
This is a long-winded
discussion. So it's not wrong to
My initial point was that Mirza wrote this book, Barahine Ahmadiyya, in response to...
Which you agreed was one of the greatest books of Islam, make his claim.
No. I said the book has good arguments. What does that mean? It has good arguments. That means even Salman Rushdie, and Hitler, for example, as evil as they were, and as evil as Salman, they have said some good stuff.
But did you see it was one of the greatest
books? So because an evil person, for example, the shaitan in the Quran, we have a verse where shaitan said, "Qala," Allah is quoting the shaitan, "Qala Rabbi." قال ربي فأنظرني إلى يوم يبعثون. Okay. Oh Allah, grant me respite until the day of judgment. Okay.
But did you
now Rabbi is a noble statement. Shaitan is calling Allah Rabbi, my Rabb. Here there is a virtue. But does that mean Shaitan is a Muslim?
Of course not. But
Shaitan is the one who taught the use of Ayatul Kursi to Abu Huraira.
Sadaqa wa huwa kadhu. But the question is,
So we say Sadaqa about Mirza Ghulam al-Qadiani. This is my response so that this is finished once
for all. But did you say it was one of the greatest books of Islamic history?
Sadaqa wa huwa kadhu.
But you accepted it's one of the greatest books.
Do you understand?
Do
you understand my perspective on Mirza Ghulam?
Yes, where
Mirza spoke the truth? Where Mirza said La ilaha illallah sadaqah? Where Mirza said Muhammad Rasulullah sadaqah? Where Mirza said Ana Nabiyun Kadhub?
Okay, but liar. Do you agree Brahine Ahmadiyya was one of the greatest books of Islamic history?
No, parts of it.
Yeah. Was one of the greatest of Islamic history?
I don't think so, no.
You said that. It's on
I said... Did I say these words?
Yes, you did. You said it would have been one of the greatest books of Islamic history if you didn't.
It would have been, quote me responsibly. You're sitting in front of me, so do justice to me.
Okay.
When you know what I think of Mirza.
Yeah, but
you know what I think of his writings.
The opponents of every prophet say this stuff after the
claim. If Mirza copies from previous authors' arguments, which I do myself sometimes, I wasn't born with wisdom and knowledge. I had to acquire it. Okay? And I'm still in the process. There's a long way to go. Right? But when I quote something wise from a predecessor, that's a noble statement. And I'm repeating it. I will get reward for it. Right? But if I contradict that statement in the next sentence or on the next page, right? Then I lose my reward.
So,
however, having said that, that statement, which was made truthfully, is still valid.
Yeah.
It still stands. So my point of view on Barahine Ahmadiyya, his book, is that it has noble things in it. I'm repeating it.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. But it has many stuff, a lot of the stuff that we don't agree with, and it's bad.
Like what?
I mean, there are so many.
Have you read it?
So I'm answering
so despite that statement of Mathile Masih about those ilhamat, Badalvi Sahib said that all of these ilhamat that should... One second, let me just finish. Now the second thing is, our view is that every man should be treated with the same criteria. the truthfulness of Rasulullah.
Nabi. And
every claimant should be treated.
And where does the authority of a Nabi comes from?
Okay, so Allah, the Quran, right? Yeah, but the Quran, my point is the Quranic criteria for a Nabi's life. What is it in
the Quran? Quran is the last book from Allah.
I agree.
Okay? The Quran tells us who the last prophet is.
Where does it say the last prophet?
It says Khatam Nabi.
What does Khatam mean in Arabic?
Khatam.
Yeah, what is Khatam?
Have you read our ulama's books on this?
I have, Alhamdulillah.
They have completely, destroyed your foundation.
Okay, so
they have destroyed. Okay. I mean, for me to indulge in this
so
topic.
What is Khatam? What Islam is it? You know Arabic. What Islam is Khatam?
What do you mean, what Islam is it?
Is it Islam Fa'il? Is it. Which Islam is it?
I don't know.
It's Ism Allah. Okay? Ism Allah is a tool. Khatam has been used by the Arabs since forever. Like, for example, Ibn Hajar al Asqalani is Khatam al Muhaddithin. Was he the last Muhaddith?
Okay,
number one. Number two, Khatam in Arabic is seal. It's in Sahih al Bukhari. The Nabi says,
when there's a Khatam al Muhaddithin. Okay? They don't mean the best.
What do they mean?
That means the end of Muhaddithin.
So where then Muhaddithin?
No, wait. When you misrepresent our sources, I have to stop you there.
Okay, so where
when Khatam al-Shu'ara, Khatam al-Muhaddithin, Khatam al-Fulan, Fulan, okay? Yeah, Khatam al-Awliya, for example. They mean the end of Awliya, not the best, okay? They could say Afdal al-Anbiya, Afdal al-Muhaddithin. Okay, after al-Quran, after the Shu'ara. When they use the word, when our literature uses the word Khatam, they only mean one thing, and that is the end.
So why?
The end. So we will never understand it otherwise.
Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. Okay, let's go to Imam Suyuti. He's Khatimatul Huffaz. Is no one after Mahafiz of the Quran?
I agree with you. But when the caller, or when the one who gives the title, uses the title, they mean out of their own gratitude for the work this person may have done, for the inspiration this person may have imparted to the one who gives this title, because of their their gratitude, they give them this title, Khatamul Awliya.
Okay, so
for example, for some people, Imam Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani is Khatamul Awliya.
Exactly.
Okay, now that doesn't mean there are no other awliya. We don't have to agree with that.
That's your point.
So no, but to them, no, that's not the point. The point is, the one who's giving the title, what does he actually mean? Does he mean the best or the last?
Best.
He means the last. Mm-hmm. You're claiming this. You're claiming that they mean best.
So you're saying he means last.
Last.
You're saying... Okay, so
the last of the the last of the Mohicans, the last samurai, the last samurai. You know, to give you that doesn't mean there are no samurais afterwards.
Exactly.
The word last means last to the person, but in the Quran, when Allah Subhanahu wa Taala uses the word Khatamul Anbiya, Khatamul Nabiyyin, Khatamul Nabiyyin for the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we have to read that verse in light of the Prophet's own teachings.
I agree. What's the Shani Nuzul of the ayah?
Let me explain first. The larger picture of this ayah, when we look at it, is basically in light of the Prophet saying, La Nabiya Ba'di, there's no Prophet after me. If there was a Prophet after me, it would have been Omar. Oh Ali, you are to me like Harun was to Musa, but there is no Prophet after me. Okay, then for example, the Quran says, Al Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum
Wa
Akmamtu Alaykum Ni'mati Wa Raditu Lakum Al-Islam Adina.
Yeah.
Okay, here this verse is categorically stating that religion is complete, and we find no reference to another prophet coming after Muhammad in Zilli or Buruzi.
I will.
Zilli and Buruzi capacity, we have no prophecies from Muhammad Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That, because you see, the reason why we believe in Isa Alayhi Salaam, who will descend near the end times physically from the heavens, is because of the Sharia. Sharia is basically Quran and Sunnah. What Allah taught and what the Prophet taught, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So it is part of Sharia for us to believe in a prophecy. in Nazul Masih.
Yes,
but there is no such prophecy about a man called Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, who will be chronically sick of many diseases, many conditions, will claim to be the Messiah who heals people, but himself is riddled.
Let me explain many points you said. Firstly, you agreed that Khatam is used for last, but people can come after. Number one. Number two, the shan and nuzul of the ayah.
No, this is when it is used for figure of speech.
Okay, okay.
When it is used as figure of speech in the Quran, that's not the use.
Okay, so this is your...
Is that the...
I understand what you're saying. Do you agree that Khatam al-Nabiyyin is a fadila?
Not necessarily.
Okay, you said not necessarily. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam...
Linguistically, not necessarily.
Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it is. Let me finish.
Again, listen to me. Yeah. I'm saying generally, linguistically, no, not necessarily.
Okay,
but in the case of Rasulullah, yes.
Okay.
Ask me specific questions and I'll give.
Okay.
In the case of the Messenger of Allah, it is a fadila because he is the seed of a prophet.
Agreed.
He closed the doors of prophethood.
So now,
that's a fadila.
Now look, khatam, the word khatam, I told you it's ism Allah. It's used to authenticate. Ism Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was at his...
All of this is irrelevant.
That's how the Prophet
himself...
This is all irrelevant. Let me finish.
Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said,
"Kuntu khatam al-nabiyyin wa anna adamu lamunjadilun fi dinati." That I was khatam al-nabiyyin even before Adam alayhi salam was born. He was the authentication of the Prophets. You quoted three ahadiths. La nabiyya ba'di lo kana ba'di nabiyya la kana umar and anta minni bi manzilati Harun bin Musa. Illa annahu la nabiyya ba'di.
Right?
Just hear me out.
I'm surprised that you guys still claim a prophet after the point.
The ahadith of la nabiyya ba'di, you accept them, we accept them. But the difference is, you actually contradict them. Because you say, no prophet after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But you know, Isa alayhi salam, he will come as a nabi after Rasulullah sallallahu
alayhi wa sallam. No, we don't believe that. We don't say that. He's once a nabi, forever a nabi.
So when he comes, will he be a nabi?
Wait. You're not hearing me. You're not listening to me. Once a nabi, forever a nabi. His nabuwa was granted to him when?
Before Nabi
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His nabuwa is done.
It's done.
His title, his ministry, his capacity as a prophet is done. Once he ascends to the heavens, it is done. It is completed. It's finished. His mission is done.
So his nabuwa is finished, right?
His prophetic ministry is finished. Now that doesn't mean the title will be taken away from him. If Musa alayhi salam was to come back,
he would follow Nabi
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But would he be a Nabi? My question to you.
Would he be a Nabi if the Prophet Muhammad called him
Ya Nabi Allah?
Yeah.
Would the Prophet be wrong? If Musa was to come back.
He would, because Musa was a Nabi. No, that's what I'm saying. He would be called Nabi.
So Musa was given the title Nabi by Allah.
Yeah.
He did his ministry. Okay? And Rasulullah, when he met them in the heavens, right? And we believe he met them physically.
Yeah, for
okay,
sure.
How? The dynamics, the kayfiyah, we don't know. We will never know because they haven't been explained.
Was it Barzakh?
We don't know. For me to postulate, I would be a fool.
The other Anbiya he met, were they there with their physical
I believe this was a physical meeting.
I'm saying
the journey entirely was physical.
No, I'm saying the other Anbiya.
Which one?
Who he met in the heavens, like Musa alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, were they there with their earthly bodies?
Why would you ask this question?
Because it's important.
Because the answer is not there. You will not be able to...
It is there.
But we know... Okay.
It is because Allah took their souls only.
Okay.
Right? So how can you see their earthy bodies left there?
When Allah brought them to pray behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam...
It was barzakh.
Okay.
It
was not barzakh. Because
Zubair Ali Zaisib said that.
Okay, wait. With that prayer?
That it was barzakh. Yes.
That prayer?
Yes.
Okay.
Barzakh
was the prophet in barzakh?
No, he wasn't.
So the prophets behind him were in barzakh?
Yes.
So what's the point of making
shows the greatness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and makes him Imam al-Anbiya. But the question remains, you said Isa alayhi salam.
I agree with the scholars. I agree with the scholars. The overwhelming majority. Okay. Assuming what you're claiming, what you're attributing to other scholars is true. I agree with the other scholars. This was a physical journey,
finished, right?
All the way.
You're saying Isa alayhi salam, his nabuwah is finished, right?
I am saying,
because he used the words finished.
No. I am saying Isa alayhi salam was given the title prophet. Do you agree?
Of course.
Okay. When the Prophet prayed in front of all the prophets in Masjid al-Aqsa, okay, what was the point of that prayer? The Prophet leading the prayer in front of the prophets.
That shows his superiority over all
them. Allahu Akbar.
But
not the finality?
What do you mean?
Not the finality? Was Mirza among those prophets?
It was a birth of
Okay, yeah. Okay.
If you show me, when you bring me the list of the Anbiya, he was there as well.
One second. We are told that the Prophet ﷺ led all the prophets in Masjid al-Aqsa. All the prophets. Yeah. Yes? Okay. And this to us means that the Prophet ﷺ is closing the matter. Because he's the final messenger, that's why he's leading all the prophets. Okay? So anyone who was a prophet, not necessarily a Rasul, who was a prophet, prayed behind Rasulullah ﷺ. We have no trace of Mirza in that
gathering.
But
you don't have a list of who is
No,
there.
We don't. We have the list of all the prophets who came before Muhammad.
Before? But it doesn't mention the Anbiya.
No, that's the point. The point is the fact that he leads them all in that prayer, that seals the matter. That there is no... I mean, even in this, there is a statement that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the last of prophets. And all prophets who came before him in prophetic capacity.
The hadith is Ana Akhirul Anbiya wa inna masjidi la Akhirul Masajid. I am the last Nabi and my mosque is the last one. This is in
I am so
Muslim.
Amazed that you
this
know all of this
Muslim.
And you
so
still
was,
believe
was
in
Nabi says mosque the last mosque.
No.
So why is it called Akhirul Masajid?
Exactly. This is figure of speech.
What does it
in this,
what
no,
does
no.
It mean?
This
what
is the problem with the Qadianis.
What
they do is they take figure of speech and they use it to challenge decisive categorical statements.
No. So what does Akhirul Masajid?
Do you agree with me that figure of speech doesn't always have the literal meaning?
Of course. Yeah.
Yes. In the Quran, I am claiming when Allah says Khatamun Nabiyyin, okay? Here Allah is not making a statement from figure of speech. Here Allah is making a categorical statement that he is categorically, literally the last of the prophets. This is a literal application.
The ayah refutes you. What's the ayah? Ma kana Muhammadun abba ahadim min rijalikum. Walakin Rasulullahi wa khatamun nabiyyin. So first question I have for you is, what is the shani nuzul of this ayah? Do you know the shani nuzul?
Okay, I'm going to use the same ayah now. I'm going to challenge you.
First tell me the shani nuzul. One thing at a time, then you're
done. Wait. Before we get to shani nuzul, there's a point I want to address. Walakin Rasulullah. Yeah? Wa khatamun nabiyyin. This wow between Rasulullah and Khatam al-Nabiyyin, okay, joins them, yeah?
Yes.
It's a connector.
Yeah.
It's a connector.
Yeah.
Atf.
Yeah.
This is a wow of Atf.
Yeah.
Okay. So this wow connects the term Rasul with Khatam al-Nabiyyin. Okay. Now you're claiming that even though Allah says he is the last of prophets, as we translate it, okay, there's another prophet after him.
No. Yeah.
Wait,
okay.
Yeah, you claim it. Is there the Rasul after him as well?
Okay, so this is a really important question. But first you have to tell me the shani.
Because why is the connector?
I'll answer this, inshallah.
Yeah.
But first you have to tell me what is the
no,
shani.
No, first answer this question. First
okay,
answer this
according to the Ahmadiyya theology, and you know this very well, that there's a division amongst the ulama. Some ulama say Nabi and Rasul are the same. Let me ask you a question.
Don't play this game
okay,
now.
Listen,
because
listen.
Allah makes this distinction in the Quran.
Okay,
in this is a separator
a
and it's a connector.
What's a Rasul?
Someone who comes with the Sharia.
Okay. Was Ibrahim alayhi salam a Rasul?
Yes.
Was Ishmael alayhi salam a Rasul?
No.
Quran calls him a Rasul.
No.
If I show you the ayah right now.
Look, look. Okay, if Ismail al-Islam was a Rasul.
He's never brought a Sharia.
Well, yeah, yeah, yeah. Wait, how do we know that?
Brother.
How can you prove that? Let's say I take you, let's say I accept it.
No
to save time.
To that.
How do we know he didn't bring Sharia?
Because Ismail because was a father of Ibrahim.
No.
Yeah, he was following
Did Isa alayhi salam bring a Sharia?
No, he didn't.
Okay, why is he called a Rasul?
Because he's a Rasul.
He did bring changes.
He didn't bring changes. He corrected the Jews what they themselves changed.
There are prophets who followed the previous Sharia.
So what's the Shani Rasul guy with?
Let me explain now. You're confusing a lot of people now.
Because
people No. These are good gymnastics. They are making us stretch our muscles and making us stronger. Wait. No. I'm not going to let you move on from this topic. No.
The Shani Rasul Adnan Sahib answers that you say it means last is wrong.
Wait. You just made a point.
Rasulullah.
I'm saying you are claiming. If you use the same verse, yeah, for Khatamun Nabiyin to mean something different than the last prophet, because we are claiming Khatamun Nabiyin means the last prophet.
But
you're saying the best prophet.
Yeah.
And there's another prophet.
But we accept last.
Let me clarify for the audience.
Then I'll give you our four meanings as well.
You're saying Khatamun Nabiyin means the best prophet.
Yeah.
We are saying it means the last literally, not figure of speech, not figuratively. But literally, he is the last prophet, full stop. You're saying, no, he's not the last prophet. There's another Zilli, Baruzi, and another
time. That's not new prophet, Bhattu. The Nabi system has Afro Nabiyan.
Wait. I mean,
I'm trying to, the Messiah came as a
Now, when you use this verse
to
claim that, then now you have to also concede that there's a Rasul coming as well.
No, we don't.
Because Mirza never claimed to be a Rasul.
He did.
You agree?
He did.
Rasul.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Okay, see, that's a bigger Nabi problem.
That's a bigger
said,
problem.
Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in Tabarani, hear me out, hear me out. He said the Messiah will be a Nabi and a Rasul.
The Messiah?
When he comes, he will be Nabi and Rasul.
Which Messiah? Where did Mirza claim to be a Rasul?
He says, I am a Nabi and Rasul by way of Buruz in his book, A Galati Ka Izala. He was called.
Does he use the word Rasul
as well?
I'm going to check it.
Yes, check it.
Okay.
But what's the Shani
Rasul? What I know from Mirza's writings is that he said, "Main Ummati Nabi hu aur ghair aur agar if he is claiming to be Rasul, he is contradicting himself.
No, he's not.
Did he clarify in his writings that a Rasul is someone who brings Sharia? Yes or no?
No, he didn't. He never said that.
Okay, then why did he make this distinction that I did not bring a Sharia?
Look, he believed Isa alayhi salam was a Rasul.
When he said, I'm a Nabi. A Nabi who did not bring Sharia.
Because the ulama used to translate at his time, and we have references on this.
Hear my question, why is Mirza making this distinction
because
specifically in his writings that I am
anything.
An Ummati Nabi
because,
who did not bring a Sharia?
Muslims,
and then he's claiming to be a Rasul.
Because Muslims, whenever he claimed that I'm an Ummati Nabi, they would think, okay, so Islam is being changed, Quran is being changed. So he would clarify that, no, I haven't changed.
What we understand from Rasul?
I ask you, before you tell me what you understand from Rasul, you're not answering the question, Nabi. What is the Shani Rasul of that? If you don't know, tell me.
Why are you making a big deal of Shani Rasul? But
It does not.
Let me explain how.
Look at the ayah. Ma kana Muhammadun aba ahadin.
This the Shani Nazul, before you give it to me, okay, the Shani Nazul is the death of Ibrahim's son. Okay, correct?
No, it's not correct.
It's not?
No.
Okay, what
you're confusing it with Inna Shani Akahul Akhtar.
No, I'm not confusing it because I know when Ibrahim died, the kuffar,
they called him Abtar.
And then this was the response.
So
when Ma kana Muhammadun aba ahadin.
It's Abu Hazrat
Zayd
radiallahu
anhu.
Okay, when Hazrat Zayd radiallahu
anhu. No.
Let me just explain, and if you disagree, let me
the
know.
The ulama have used this
for
verse.
Both. I agree. I'll explain why. In one ayah of the Quran, I hope you listen fully, then if you believe I'm wrong, clarify. Okay, if you differ with me. Allah said,
so
in
why
the Quran,
waste time like?
Because it's important. It explains what the ayah means. Allah in the Quran says, Inna shaniyaka huwal abtar. that your enemy is Ishmael to Nabi Sallallahu. It's your enemy who is without progeny.
Yeah.
In this ayah, from the elder perspective, Allah agrees that ma kana Muhammadun aba adin min rijalikum, that yes, I agree. Allah is saying, I agree that Nabi Sassan is not the father of any of your men. Walakin, in Arabic, lakin is called lakin istidlal. What it does is it refutes the previous statement and brings the positivity that Allah is saying, yes, he is not the father of any of your men. Walakin Rasulullah. What's the connection with Abba and Rasul?
You're using walakin here as rather.
Yes, of course.
Okay.
So what's the connection with Abba and Rasul, according to all of the ulama? They say, listen.
And I don't agree with your rendition.
You just hear
I don't agree with your rendition.
All of the ulama say,
you're blaming, no, not all of them.
All
don't,
of them.
Don't,
I'll prove
don't,
it right now. Just hear me out. Rasul has to relate to Abba because Lakin is there. They say Rasul Yani Abul Ummah because Allah says in the Quran in Surah Al-Ahzab, Azwajuhu Ummahatuhum. The mothers, the wives of Nabi Sassam are the mothers of the believers. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the father of the Ummah. That's where the Rasulullah is used.
No.
What? You disagree with
no,
this?
No, because the verse says, Aba Ahwin Nabrijalikum.
Physical
okay.
father.
Yeah. He is not.
The physical father of any of
the
men.
Here, yeah, exactly. Mir rijalikum. Because there's a specific point being addressed here.
Yeah.
Okay? So, Allah is clarifying that He is not the father of any of the men.
Yeah.
Now, does that exclude women?
Of course, rijalikum is only men.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, Allah has not given him male progeny.
That reached
that's
the
not,
age of
yeah,
male.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
This you're dragging this point.
Yeah, but you're
to, you're applying it to the whole ummah. That's not the point here.
No,
the point is not the ummah.
What does
the point,
Rasulullah here mean? How does it relate to Allah?
I will explain to you.
How does it relate
I,
to
how,
Allah?
How you, this is why I have a strong reservation in sending people to your channel. You see? Because you twist and manipulate
so
our
what
sources.
What did I just twist right now?
Because
I'm
you're applying,
I'm
telling you how you twist
Abul
it.
Ummah.
Okay. Abul Ummah generally in a metaphorical,
Rasul.
Abul Ummah.
I agree,
yeah.
I agree.
I mean, we are his spiritual progeny.
I agree.
Here, wait, let me, if you agree with me, in this verse, Allah is not making a spiritual point. Allah is making a physical point. There's a physical issue at
the
matter.
First part
what
of
is
the
physical matter? There's
Abba
a biological issue at matter.
I agree. I agree. The
no,
first part.
So don't use that.
No, walakin Rasulullah answers the first part. So how is Allah responding to Nabi Sassam having no physical children, male who reached the male adult age? Are you saying Allah is saying
so,
Nabi Sassam is not
so
the
what,
physical
what,
father and he also has no
spiritual children? So we may be agreeing
children.
Actually, we may be agreeing.
Rasulullah
yeah.
means he's the spiritual father.
No.
Wa khatam al-nabiyyin. How does khatam relate to Abba? You have to answer this because lakin here it's waw atfa.
Abba ahadim min rijalikum.
How does it relate to
Abba? Is a biological
yes,
point?
Yes, it is.
Okay, it is a biological point. The next one is a spiritual one.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. Here Allah is saying that He is not the father of any man among you, but He is your Rasul.
Which means?
And the last of the prophets.
No, but how does being just a messenger...
Yeah, I mean, let me explain our understanding.
Yeah, yeah, explain your
this
understanding.
This is our Sunni understanding.
Abba,
and tell me if I'm misrepresenting it.
Abba,
yeah, wait. When we're going to talk over each other, it's going to come in the,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
In the audio
people
and people don't like
it. Again that
yeah.
Adnan, they didn't let you speak at all.
Or people going to say that Razib was going on and you weren't responding
yeah,
to
yeah.
it. That's another issue.
Yeah, yeah.
If I let you keep going
the
on.
The ulama of fatwas
no, I don't care about fatwas.
The Sheikh will say you weren't prepared.
The Sheikh Ibn Hazm, he said you weren't prepared. Now the Sunnis are saying he wasn't prepared.
No one is ultimately prepared for
yeah.
anything. You're not prepared for this conversation.
Of course.
I'm not prepared
but
for this
you
conversation.
Do this
but I don't have
like
the books in front of me. Ahmadiism is not my expert field.
Yeah.
Okay, I've only started to indulge
is
in it.
Is Sunniism my expertise?
Yeah, it is. You've been at it. You've been at it for I don't know how long. You've been at it for years. You're a proselytizer. You are a missionary. You preach. You respond to Sunni arguments. So you've been at it
and
for years.
You're afraid of
okay.
the baby.
And I must be doing really well. for 3 months, for me to be in the field for 3 months, and I'm still handling
well
you.
In twisting okay. the sources.
No,
that's
I am
for
not.
Sure. Every no. source you quote, when we look at it, it's out of context. No. Every single one.
When I talk about Mirza,
everything.
But before we get to Mirza,
everything.
Before we get to Mirza, let me finish this point.
Yeah, finish
point.
Just once,
yeah.
and just make sure
so,
I didn't do it twice. Like I was just the second minute.
Okay.
Do you want to put the charger in?
No, it's right. How much battery do you have on this?
It's good.
Oh, that's fine. Let's continue. So, this verse doesn't support you because you don't actually believe that Mirza is a Rasul, and Mirza did not believe he was a Rasul.
Where are you okay. claiming this?
I'll tell you why.
I'll tell you why
because Mirza made a distinction specifically that I am an Ummati Nabi that did not bring a Sharia. Correct?
Yeah.
Am I misrepresenting
no,
Mirza?
Right.
Our understanding of Rasul, our understanding, you don't have to agree with that, our understanding of the term Rasul, Ar-Risala is the message.
But this is not
I'm saying this is the Sunni. Rasul is a word that can be applied to anyone. He can be my Rasul.
Of course.
You can be my Rasul. Okay, my messenger.
But
Ar-Risala.
Ar-Rasul.
Ar-Rasul. No, wait. Ar-Rasul. Ar-Rasul means the messenger of God who brought the message or a message from Allah. Okay? Mirza did not claim that. Mirza did not bring a Sharia.
No, we don't agree with your definition of Rasul.
You don't have to.
Why
would you agree with my definition when you have Mirza to deal with? When you have Mirza teaching
the
you?
Point,
why would you agree with my...
Everything he said is something
Mirza, Mirza broke away from the whole Ummah claiming to be a prophet after Muhammad Rasulullah when he led all the prophets in prayer in Masjid al-Aqsa.
You see,
okay, and there's no trace of Mirza. There's no trace.
Your ulama, like Nawab Siddiq Hasan Khan said in Hijjaj al-Karama, he makes it clear that when the Imam Mahdi comes, he's going to be opposed by the ulama. Are you saying when your Imam Mahdi comes, all of your ulama will be like, this man is sure they'll accept him right away?
Okay. Now, when Siddiq Hasan Khan says this, do I have to accept it?
So you reject it. So
that's his opinion.
So what's your opinion?
Wait.
Yeah, what's your opinion?
Is this his opinion or is Siddiq Hasan Khan quoting a source from Sharia?
This is his opinion,
thank
but
you.
It's not
so
just
why quote it?
Opinion.
Why quote it in
the
this
reason,
conversation?
Reason,
it's not my
the
authority.
The reason I quote it,
Nawab
I want
Siddiq,
to know your view.
I have done it. Have you listened to my talk on it?
I've listened to your talk on where you praised that Shah Wali Lamad this day was Waliullah getting messages on the unseen.
No, you claimed.
And he said
and
Imam
you,
Mahdi
you
was
actually,
supposed to
you
come.
Actually
where
lied
is he?
On him. You actually
when
lied
did I lie?
You,
I didn't
you
lie.
Said, you said, I claimed.
I corrected
wait, no,
myself
no,
only
no.
that I met
but
Imam.
Until you corrected yourself, yeah. which was
but
many
lie
days.
But lie is something
you
do on purpose.
Yeah, wait. You on purpose?
No, wallahi, that was on purpose.
Wait.
Did Ibrahim
another topic, another spanner in the works,
but
another distraction.
Okay.
So let's stick to the conversation.
Khatam,
yeah. This issue of Khatam al-Nabiyyin, yeah, it doesn't help you. The Quran doesn't support you because the Quran says, "Walakin Rasulullah," yeah, "wa Khatam al-Nabiyyin." Allah mentions them both together.
Yeah.
Okay? You Mirza claimed to be a Nabi.
And
I know
Rasul.
That. And no Sharia. Rasul to us means the one who brings Sharia. Okay?
So will Isa
okay.
bring a Sharia
okay.
when he comes?
No,
he's
yes,
called
he, no, when he came, yes.
When
he
comes
Rasul.
Back,
no,
will
no,
bring
no.
A Sharia?
He did bring, Isa alayhi salam did bring changes.
How about when he comes back? Will he change Islam?
No.
Will he abrogate
he's not
the jizya?
Coming. No.
He
no.
won't abrogate
no,
the jizya?
Because jizya was abrogated by Rasulullah.
When?
But he said he will do it.
So who will
wait,
do it?
Do you understand? By the way, wait.
So it will be
Isa, okay, wait,
when he comes.
Wait. When Isa alayhi salam comes back, he's not coming back to do anything by himself or on his own. He is coming back to fulfill the commandments.
Will he get working?
I'm finished. Let me finish. He will come back to do exactly what the Prophet has already foretold.
Agreed.
So this is Prophet Sharia. When jizya is lifted, at that particular point, this is the Prophet Muhammad Rasulullah. This is not Isa. Because the Prophet told us, Isa, he will come back and he will do this. So on the authority of Muhammad Rasulullah, Isa will do that.
So he will abrogate it, but on the authority...
He will not abrogate it.
Okay. Okay.
We will not abrogate it.
So the verse will still remain.
That's the end. It's not abrogation. It's not abrogation. That's
to give Sheikh Ibn Hazm, because they will. Let me explain what that means.
It's not the lifting of jizya.
Yeah.
It's not the lifting of jizya. It's not the abrogation of jizya or the law. It's the fact that no Ahlul Kitab will be left.
Would they be killed if they don't want to accept Islam?
100% Isa alayhi salam.
But I have this a is end, end time. Right now, when end you times. Say that this is not
you ask, when you ask me a question, you have to let me answer. Okay, you have to have the patience, but let me finish. You ask me a question. Isa alayhi salam, when he will come back, and this is end times, this is eschatology. You understand
right?
Eschatology means war.
Yeah.
End of the world. That doesn't mean the normal policy. That doesn't mean your normal circumstances. Do you agree?
Okay. I don't agree that the Quran can be refuted because it's the end times. For example, unless it's in the Quran, let me finish. Unless it's La Ikraha.
I will. Okay, that's what the problem is. The Quran tells us to follow the Prophet. The Prophet tells us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that this norm will continue until Isa descends, because the end times are not the norm. Okay, the end, even the words of the Quran will be lifted. Agreed?
Physically?
The copies will go blank. You know about the hadith, right?
I don't agree with that.
You don't have to agree with that. I'm saying the Prophet said it. You don't have to agree with that.
I don't agree that's a hadith. The hadith says, La yabka min al Quran illa rasmuhu. Nothing will be left of the Quran except its script. You're saying the Quran will physically be erased. Allah says, "Inna nahnu nazzalna zikra wa inna lahu lahafizun." So I disagree.
Are you not understanding? Okay, first of all, let me simplify it more so that you can be with me on the same page. There's the norm, and there's the end times.
Can the end times go against Quran?
Wait. When Allah will destroy the earth, it will be destroyed or not?
Yes, of course. Yes.
Will all the copies of the Quran be destroyed
when
or not?
When that happens?
Yeah. Wait.
When the world
will
ends.
Allah destroy the copies of the Quran with the planet Earth or not?
When the whole world ends,
Thank you. Now you're with me on the same page, right?
Yeah.
Do you agree with me now?
Yeah.
Good. That's the point.
Now,
do you understand me now?
Yeah.
So the Quran will be lifted. The Quran will
but
be.
But you said in the time of Isa, right? I disagree.
The time of Isa, this descending of Isa alayhi salam is a major sign of Yawm al Qiyamah.
So was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's coming.
No, it wasn't a major. The Prophet's coming is not the major sign.
Nabi said six things will happen before Qiyamah. The Prophet himself
said there are minor signs and there are major signs.
If it's a major sign,
why would he be giving us minor signs? If a major sign has come, then what's the point of minor signs? Minor signs lead up to major signs. Okay, now let me clarify. There are minor signs, for example, there'll be abundant killing. Okay, for example, these barefooted Arabs will be building tall signs.
Where is your proof that that's a minor sign when that's the one of the only signs Jibreel alayhi said in the hadith about Iman? How can you claim it's a minor sign?
Okay, number one,
you have to answer this question that there's an ayah in the Quran, wa law sha'a rabbuka la amana man fil ardi kullu.
Is this all sweet? French vanilla?
But it's coffee in French vanilla.
Okay, this is for French vanilla, is very sweet. By the way, everyone, let me advertise Tim Hortons for everyone.
See, French he's vanilla the agent. He calls us an agent. So, Anami, there's an ayah in the Quran. Follow Shah Arabu.
No, before we get to another ayah. Let me finish this. Isa alayhi salam, coming back, lifting the jizya. Okay, that's the end times. That's not the norm. So when you say, oh, the Quran is being abrogated, the Quran is being challenged, the Quran is being contradicted, because Allah says, La ikraha fiddeen, qad tabayyana ar-rushdu min al-ghayb. Okay, that verse is going to be contradicted. Do you not get the point? You're talking about one verse being contradicted. I just told you the entire Quran, all the copies of the Quran will be lifted.
That's when the world ends. Right.
Yes. So now, let me explain. When Isa comes,
the book of the heavens as well.
When Isa descends, that's the end of the world. Okay, that's the beginning of the end. Okay, this is the beginning of the end. Okay, so don't deliberately misrepresent our sources and play this game. So when you say, oh, look at these Sunnis, they believe in an Isa who will come back and he will commit a genocide, he will kill all these innocent people, and he will force them to accept Islam, he will lift the jizya. These Sunnis, these extremists, don't do that. Because you, either you don't understand our view, and if you do, then you deliberately misrepresent it. But you know, I believe you do understand.
Yeah, I don't at all.
Okay, now I've explained to you, right?
Let me explain now.
Yeah.
Okay, look, the Messiah is coming, according to
let me ask you one question. Do the Sunni Muslims believe in committing genocide?
Do you as a Muslim believe it?
Yeah.
Right now, no. Yeah. But is your aqeedah that a Messiah will come and go around killing pregnant women who don't want things
in Islam? No, we don't believe that.
When Isa comes, will he not do that?
We don't believe that.
So what if a pregnant woman doesn't want to accept Islam? What would he do?
He will deal with the situation accordingly.
See, he won't cure it.
Okay. Now that you have asked a very good question, it's a very interesting question. Because you want to put a trap in front of me. Let me deal with the trap. Sharia has to be applied. Do you all agree?
Yeah, but first let him explain what are you.
But he asked me a question, I have to address it.
But can I explain?
No, wait. You're saying, what about a pregnant woman?
Yeah.
When Isa alayhi salam comes to lift jizya, which is a hadith of the Prophet, means the end times, is malhama. Okay, Isa alayhi salam, will he kill pregnant women? Okay, the answer is no.
Okay, how about after she gives birth?
The answer is no. Why?
Why?
Why? He will wait for them to give birth,
and then
are you aware of the incident? And not only that, he will wait for them to raise the children. What's the problem with that?
Times are many years.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you just contradicted your own belief.
Isa alayhi salam live on earth?
According to you guys, 40 years, but Ibn Hajar says there's a
Did you get that?
According to you, according to Ibn Hajar,
40 years? In 40 years, you have plenty of time to check.
To kill everybody.
No. No, it's not about killing, bro.
One second, guys.
The reason why.
Two questions.
No, wait. Have I answered your question?
Because there's two questions in the day. Let's say a woman gives birth when she's 39 years of Isa Lessam's coming. 39 years and 6 months in, she gives birth. Will she, and she doesn't want to accept Islam, will he kill her? No. He's about to die in 6 months. You're stuck now because the IS is
not stuck. I'm waiting for you to finish.
Okay, what's your answer?
Okay, now you're going to have to be quiet for me. Let's make it a conversation.
Okay.
Like we were talking before the camera turned on.
Inshallah.
Let's make it a conversation. Now you ask me a question. I believe Isa alayhi salam, when he comes, he will implement the law immediately. The task he's been given to finish the job, basically enough is enough. Enough time has been given to all the Ahlul Kitab to believe in Allah and His messengers and Isa alayhi salam. Now that you have come back, that option is lifted. Just like the Dajjal will come back and the Dajjal will go on a killing spree. Okay? Right? Okay, just like that, Isa alayhi salam will come back and lift the jizya, by giving two options to the Ahlul Kitab. You either believe, now the option is there, because this is the end time now. The time is over. The sun's gonna fall, the earth will be destroyed. Everything will finish. There will be a fire. Okay, we'll all be gathered now. Okay, so it's over. So this is not normal circumstances. Okay, so when you try to play this game, I am finished. When you play this game to claim genocide on our part, you are misrepresenting us. You're lying on us. Let me finish.
No, you are.
Because we are talking about end times. Eschatology means war, destruction, finished. The world is coming to an end.
Is that the will of Allah that everyone believes?
Second question. 39 years.
Before we go to second, this is
39 and a half years. Isa Islam won't wait that long. Now you thought
39 years and 6
the problem is, Razim, this conversation is going to come out very bad, because you're talking over me and I'm talking over you. I don't want it to be like that. We can address these questions, okay. No problem.
Okay. And but then you'll give me a chance to give more
of course, okay. But then you have to be quick and I'll be quick, okay, as well, so that people can enjoy, okay, and sure, learn from our conversation, yeah, inshallah. Okay? You asked me very good questions. You threw traps in front of me to dismantle my understanding or to possibly make me fall, let's say, right? But my response to that is that Isa alayhi salam will never do something to any innocent people. For example, a child in the mother's womb, he will wait, like the Sharia, we have a precedent from the life of the Prophet. A woman came, she was pregnant, and she admitted to zina. What did the Prophet do? Technically, he should be executing the law. Yes? What does he tell her? Go back. She goes back, she gives birth to the child, she brings back the child. I'm done. The Prophet goes, tells her to go back. The law is still going to be applied, right? But he gives her time so that an innocent life is not killed. That's law. Isa alayhi salam will come and execute the law, but he will do it lawfully. Right? That's the answer to your question.
Now let me clarify. Yeah. Firstly, so
there's no contradiction between la ikraha fi
deen. There is. I'll explain.
No, there isn't.
I'll explain right now. I give you the time to explain. Now let me give you my view. Right? Nabi Sisim's law is la taqtulu walidan wa la imra'atan wa la shayha. Do not kill women, children, or old men in battle. Right? Do you agree? Okay. Now you're saying Isa,
in battle.
Unlawfully anything, you cannot kill anything.
In battle,
okay, anyhow. Your belief, you said that Isa alayhi salam will let the woman give birth, okay? I'm not done yet.
If there's such a case.
So if there's a case, once she gives birth, right, let's say it's 39 years in and 6 months.
No, why would Isa alayhi salam, he comes back, he will do it straight away?
No,
he will apply the law straight away.
Understanding the question.
Yes.
He's applying the law, right? A woman. Okay, let's give you another example. Okay.
But do you understand?
I understand if you.
He will do it within the first year.
So that option will not even arise,
he has to wait 39 years.
No, I'm saying if she gets pregnant at that time, the woman.
No, but the case is dealt with. Already, people are dealt with.
Okay, fine.
Ahlul Kitab already dealt with. In the first year, okay, he lands. He is here to do a job.
Okay.
What other job? Lift jizya.
Okay,
kill swine and break the cross.
Is it the will of Allah that everyone has to become Muslim according to you?
If that was the will of Allah, Allah would have caused all the people to be Muslim.
Is it the will of Allah that in the
Allah
time says, of
Allah Isa, answers this question in the Quran, you know?
That's the verse I'm trying to get you.
Yeah, yeah.
So do you agree that according to the Quran,
Allah has given us a choice,
yeah,
to be disbelievers and believers.
Exactly.
And we will face consequences of our choices.
Exactly. But you're saying that because it will be the end of times, these verses of the Quran like La ikraha fi din and Walau sha'a rabbuka la amna fil ardi kulluhum jamia, Allah says to Nabi Sassam, Afa anta tukriha nas hatta yakunu mu'minin, that will you force people to convert until they become believers?
It seems to me you don't want to get the point. Or you don't understand what I'm saying.
I understand what you're saying. Because it's the eschatology, this stuff, this stuff.
Different word, brother. The law of Islam,
yeah,
applies up to a certain point.
Okay, so the laws, okay, of Islam.
But, and when the world is destroyed, when the world is destroyed, the law of Islam doesn't apply anymore.
Okay, so when
you understand? Do you understand?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
that's my answer.
So the our view, let me give you our view.
Yeah.
Our view is that, according to the Quran,
your view is not the law, the view of Islam anyway.
Okay,
yes.
So our view, which we believe is the true Islam, and we believe your view isn't that of Islam, is that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, according to the explicit verses of the Quran, has died. He's never coming back. On the Day of Judgment, he says to Allah that this shirk of the Christians began after I died, not while I was alive. فَلَمَّا تُوَفَيْتَنِي كُنْتَ رَكِيبَ عَلَيْهِمْ. These ahadiths, like Yaqsir al-Salib, like Yaqtul al-Khinzir, we debated it last time as well, and Yadda ul-Jizya does not mean that he will say Imma al-Islam or Imma al-Salib, because for us, till the world ends, and even the book of the skies, the heavens, the akhirah, is the Quran for us.
That's your view, right?
So all of
we don't agree with it.
Yeah, you don't have to. But our point,
we believe it's false, yeah, for all the reasons I've already given.
That's fine. But
your view is completely inconsistent. The Quran says in the last juz of the Quran, there are so many surahs where Allah describes the Day of Judgment.
So what are the
and,
signs?
And the destruction.
What are the signs?
And إِذَا النُّجُومُ انْكَدَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ
وَإِذَا الْإِشَارُ أُتِّلَتْ وَإِذَا الْمُحُوشُ حُشِرَتْ. What does this mean? Okay. وَإِذَا الْإِشَارُ أُتِّلَتْ.
Let's read the whole surah.
I don't have it memorized, but I'm saying this. You
so, so
this
don't sign. Just pick. No, just, don't no, just pick this, one verse.
Okay, choose any ayah from that.
Let's have that Q&A we were having before.
Okay. So let's do that. Let's go to another topic. We discussed this. We don't believe you can force anyone.
No. I'm not going to force you. I'm telling you how inconsistent your view is in comparison to ours. I'll tell you why. Yeah. We believe in Isa ibn Maryam, the Hadith literature. Consistently, this is why the problem. You know why people think the Ahmadis are blind followers of kufr, They deliberately choose kufr over belief.
And we think you did that. Right?
No problem. Okay. Let people decide. Let people decide and see which one
follows the Quran and Ahadith.
Ahadith. Thank you. Okay. The Hadith. Mutawatir.
Of course.
Mutawatir.
Yeah.
They say Isa ibn Maryam is coming back.
As Imam of
Qubayl. Wait. Who is Hadith tells us the name and the profile and the characteristics. Okay? Hadith tells us the one coming back or the one descending from the heavens.
It doesn't say from the heavens. Now you're adding to the words of Rasulullah. And you mentioned the Ahadith do not mention the Messiah.
I will tell you where it says the heavens.
It says he will come in two yellow garments.
The problem
is,
Ghazi, you don't stop. You don't stop stopping me.
Do you want to time me?
Okay, no.
Because then you give us the
Can we not make a conversation?
Okay.
Yeah. Make it a conversation. Make it natural and organic. Okay. The Hadith says that Isa, the son of Mary, is descending with two angels. Descending means he's going to come from the heavens or come from above, let's say, right? In fact, there's a hadith that even states, I don't remember the hadith with the Samil Sama.
That's the hadith.
What's descending for us?
So you said Nuzul.
But all the hadith, the word Nuzul, and even one hadith even says that he will descend with two angels. Where do angels come from?
Did the Prophet
Wait. My simple question. Where do angels come from?
So I'll answer.
Please. Just let's make it easy. Where do angels come from?
So our belief isn't like yours that angels are somewhere in the heaven and they physically come down and they're not on earth.
Yeah, but okay. No, I'm not asking for you. Where do angels come from?
There's two angels on your shoulders right now. Where did they come from?
They actually come from originally from heaven.
Do they keep going up and down every day?
We don't know.
Okay, so we don't believe.
They have been given a job to do.
Yeah.
Okay, where did Harut and Marut come from?
We have a different view. We don't believe Harut Marut like you guys believe that they were angels who committed sins. We don't believe that.
Okay.
But my question to you is: right, did Rasulullah descend?
So what do you believe then?
Did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi
wasallam descend? The Quran calls them Malakain.
But it doesn't say they sin. That's what I'm saying. We're not saying
they did exactly what they were said to do. Okay, we don't.
They were trials.
So yeah, they were a trial, and they said we are a trial. They were sent to be a trial. Okay,
so don't assume.
The Quran says they're angels. My question is, where did Harut and Marut come from?
Okay, they were on earth. They weren't physical angels from the sky. They were religious people.
Okay,
they weren't.
That's your view.
They weren't religious. Malak is.
Okay, where did the Prophet see Jibreel?
But before,
where did the Prophet see Jibreel?
They had qalbis for his time as well.
Lakad ra'a
bil ufuq al a'la.
Okay. Yeah. Where's ufuq?
The highest of the high.
No, where's ufuq?
It means the horizon.
Horizon is where? Sky, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. That's
that doesn't mean Jibreel.
So you're making it unnecessarily painful.
Isa
alayhi salam will be seen coming down with two angels, and we are saying he will come from heavens with the angels. He will come from the heavens. So that's the one. I mean, you don't have to accept the answer.
But did Nabi sallallahu alayhi
wasallam
come with angels or
no? Where from?
Did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam descend?
From where? From where? I'm asking where.
Isa alayhi salam, it says he would